For our text, let's turn together to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be reading from verses 18 to verse 22, so 18 to the end of the chapter. But our text is going to be found particularly in verse 21, but also drawing in verse 18 as well. So 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start a reading at verse 18 and read to verse 22. That's found on page 1178. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 18. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. That's as far as reading in God's word this morning. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we've had the privilege of witnessing a special, beautiful event in the life of not only the Vanderwoods, but for us all as a congregation, that this child is a member of our church. And as a member of our church, should receive the sign that marks this one, belonging not only to us as a congregation, but belonging to Christ. We have the privilege of embracing this little one as a gift of God, being reminded that as a gift from God, we are to return this little one to the Lord. Yes, the sacrament of baptism is a beautiful event in the life of the church. I don't know if you've watched the news this past week, but there's the women's march and demonstrations which shout the right that women have the right over their own bodies and even to kill their own child. What a blessing it is that we have as a church to show that we warmly embrace these little ones. Just as Christ embraced little ones, laid his hands upon them and blessed them, so we embrace these children as gifts from God. When a child is baptized, we are shown, we are reminded two things. One, we, like children, are unable. We have a complete dependence on others. That just as little Annalise depends on Tom and Kara for absolutely everything, so also we have a complete dependence on God for everything. Spiritually, we are helpless. But not only do we marvel at our own inability, we also marvel at God's greatness, the extraordinary grace that God has shown to us and embracing us. Yes, we are born by nature, children of wrath, sons and daughters of Adam, but without our deserving it, we are also grafted into Christ, belonging to him, we are his people. So today we are going to consider the value that we are to place on baptism. What is the use? Well, baptism is kind of like a bridge. If you are going to be crossing a bridge, perhaps you're walking through the jungle and you see this bridge across this wide ravine. We look at the bridge and we have to ask ourselves, what sort of weight can this bridge hold? If we aren't confident that this bridge can hold our weight, would you cross it? What value, what weight does baptism have? Well, a bridge that doesn't hold our weight is a scary thing. And baptism without Christ is also a scary thing. It won't hold your weight. If you try to see baptism as a bridge in exclusion of Christ, you are removing any support, any strength that bridge might have. Without Christ, baptism will not hold your weight. Try to walk across a bridge that has no structure, and you will find out exactly how deadly it will be. But baptism is a sign and seal pointing us to Jesus Christ and assuring us of Christ and his work. Baptism is a picture that points to the reality secured by Jesus Christ. Baptism is a sign, but it's also a seal, a stamp, a pledge, a promise that Christ will do what he says he will do. So today we are going to consider the value of baptism within the church. And look at this theme. Jesus Christ gives baptism to his people to bind his people to himself. Christ gives baptism to the church to bind the church to himself. Baptism is a symbol of the beginning of a new Christian life. Well, the first thing we're going to consider is what baptism is not. Baptism is not a guarantee that everyone who is baptized will be saved. Paul says something similar in Romans chapter 9, not all Israel is of Israel. Listen again to what our passage says in verse 21. Not the removal of dirt from the body. The strength of baptism is not the removal of dirt from your body. We must be very clear here. The actual dipping in or sprinkling, the water that was lifted by my hand, does not wash away sins. It is not a spiritual miracle that we are witnessing this morning. The external sign does not supply the thing that is needed. These hands do not wipe away sins. Now, a sign is good insofar as it goes. A sign is good at doing the thing the sign was designed to do. Well, if we're traveling home, we see that sign. I was traveling this past week, Chicago, 130 miles. The sign is good. It tells you you're going in the right direction, but the sign itself doesn't take you there. The sign does not bring you to the destination. It tells you, it points you to the truth. Over the years, many church members have been lulled into thinking that baptism has taken the place of the reality. Things like a baptismal regeneration overemphasizes the power of the water. But the water here poured on little Annalise is not holy water. It's normal tap water. What is water good for, children? Well, I assume your parents say to you before you have your meal, you need to go wash your hands. Water is good at washing away dirt from our bodies. That's what water is designed to do. But there is no amount of water in this world that could wash away all our sins. In these things, we remember that baptism has taken the place of the sign of circumcision. In the Old Testament, we would have to ask ourselves the same question. Did the sign of circumcision actually cut away sin? Did receiving the external sign actually change the heart? That's why I read from Galatians chapter 5, where Paul says circumcision and uncircumcision doesn't affect the heart. It doesn't count for anything. It's only faith working through love. It is not the external sign that saves. Or as Jeremiah said, your hearts must be circumcised. Now, this does not mean that the external sign is useless, but rather that the external, the outward, needs to be coupled, united to what is internal. So it is, the outward washing, the purification which we see, needs to be connected to the internal purification, the water of baptism connected to the true inner baptism performed by Christ through his blood and spirit. So then if baptism, the water of baptism, the external water, the sign and seal that we have just seen, doesn't save, why should we be baptized? What's the purpose? What's the use? Is baptism useful? Well, our passage says, again in verse 21, this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you. Baptism now saves you, Paul says. Baptism is an appeal, verse 21 concludes, appeal to God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism points to the need for the internal cleansing performed by Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Baptism externally doesn't save, but what baptism points to does save. As a sign and seal, the effectiveness of baptism relies on the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And without Christ, you are still in your sins. Although baptism, the water of baptism by itself, doesn't save, it's also true that baptism does save, because baptism represents, points us, and brings us to Christ. And by our faith and union to Christ, we find that we are, in fact, saved. The water or the removal of dirt doesn't save, but that doesn't mean baptism is unimportant. Baptism is useful, important, it's very good, a necessary part of our growing our Christian faith, because it is a sign and a seal. It has the strength to do that which Christ has called it to do. A sign which points to a truth, and a seal which is a promise assuring us that Christ will do what he has promised. To prove this point, Peter draws a connection, a line between the water of baptism and the water of flood. If you still have your Bibles open, you'll look that in verse 18, 19, and 20, where Peter is pointing to this connection between the flood and the ark and baptism. Now, what happened with the flood? Well, at the flood, we know that there was a sin that had covered the world. It was such a pollution that God says, this needs to be wiped out. This sin needs to be dealt with. But that's not the end of the story, because there is also the saving of lives. So at the flood, there is both death and life. What makes the difference? What's the distinction? Well, the distinction is those who were saved were those who believed, who trusted and obeyed and went into the ark. The spiritual teaching of the flood is that the flood points to death and resurrection. Now, I know, children, that's one of our favorite stories. Whenever I ask my kids, what story do you want to hear or read about in the Bible, they usually say Jonah or Noah. It's one of those stories that we always love to hear as we're kids. We marvel at the hugeness of it all. But the story, the narrative in the Old Testament is teaching us a spiritual truth that sin needs to be dealt with. And sin will be dealt with in one way or the other. The first way that sin will be dealt with is that you will be destroyed. You'll be consumed like the untold host, the multitude of people that lived on this earth before the flood in wickedness and rebellion. The flood dealt with them. It gave them what their sin deserved. That's the first way that sin can be dealt with. The second way that sin can be dealt with is by finding deliverance. Now, what made Noah special? He was a man of faith. He believed God. He trusted and obeyed. And when the ark was built, Noah and his family were welcomed into the ark. God shut the door, and the flood for them was turned into a vehicle of deliverance, that they were brought safely through the flood and brought out alive on the other side. That's what baptism signifies. That's we see a picture of that here at baptism. Now, think of when baptism took place. Most of the time in the New Testament, it was by immersion. So they would be the pastor or the elder would be standing there walking down with this new Christian, walking into the water. They would be dunked in the water and then coming back out. Now, do you see the connection between the flood and baptism? At the beginning of the Christian life, something takes place. You go into the water and you die. You die with Christ. The old man is put to death, but you don't stay under the water, do you? You come back out of the water like Noah and his family, brought safely through, brought back to dry land. It's just like the Red Sea. What made the distinction between Pharaoh and his hosts and Moses and those who were with him? Was God's covenant grace, his kindness shown to God's people. So that at the Red Sea, what happens is that those who are united to God and faith and trust, those who are united to Christ, are brought safely through the waters of the Red Sea on dry ground. They come out alive on the other side. They're baptized into Moses. But for Pharaoh and all his hosts that reject and rebel and shake their fist in the face of God at the Red Sea, they find only death. So it is for us at baptism, that we need to be united to Christ. United to Christ, whereby we find the death of the old man and the coming to life of the new. The water itself doesn't save. The flood or the Red Sea brought only death if you take them alone. But what saves is when water is connected to Christ by faith. When Noah went into the ark, believed God, the flood, and now baptism becomes an instrument of cleansing and life. You see, congregation, baptism portrays salvation through judgment. So you, today, if you are in Christ, your baptism is not a mode of your eternal judgment, but a mode of putting to death the old man and coming alive in Christ. But outside of Christ, at baptism you find only death. With Jesus Christ, however, we don't face the flood alone. We face the flood by faith going into the ark, and Jesus keeps us safe as we pass through the water. So then at baptism, at the very moment of receiving the sign and seal, no one becomes regenerate. But the spiritual truth in baptism is the focus, is the point. This water sitting before you doesn't wash away sins. But the blood of Jesus Christ, which this water points to, does. And by faith, we receive what baptism signifies. Our appeal in baptism is this: as my body has been washed with water, so, Lord, please cleanse my soul with the blood of Christ. And baptism not only is a picture, but also a seal, a promise, just as surely, so surely will God cleanse me from all my sins. As verse 18 clarifies, Christ died for our sins once for all. It's in his death that we find salvation. As I said before, baptism symbolizes the beginning of the Christian life. The old man is put to death, goes into the water, and doesn't come back out. It's the new man that comes back out. So then, we see the importance of being reminded that baptism points us, connects us, unites us to Christ. Here we see the application. Because not only do we rest in the externals, but we must press on to the consequence. Yes, we should rejoice in the fact that God has given us his signs and his seals, his picture and his promise, but we are to join in faith to the very thing that baptism points us to. To build upon our baptism, as they say, to take the promises made to us at baptism and make them our own. So today, little Annalise received the external sign. Her body was washed with water. But it's only Christ's blood and spirit that can do the very thing that this baptism pointed to, that we might be saved by grace through faith, that our sins would be washed away. Baptism reminds us of who we are in Christ and what we need in Christ, that we need to be cleansed. As our Mark 16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. To conclude, today we have been taught that baptism is a great gift. It's a great gift and it shouldn't be taken for granted. But baptism, as the external water itself, does not guarantee salvation to all who receive the sign. Baptism is a picture and it is a promise, but it is a picture that points to what Christ needs to do and a promise that Christ will do what he promises. There is great value in baptism as long as you remember that baptism is rooted and founded in Christ. As a sign, water does not wash away our sins, but as a sacrament, baptism points to Christ's blood and spirit, which does wash and sanctify. So as we come to the baptismal font today, we are reminded of what Christ has promised. When we are united to him, we need not fear the judgment flood. When we're united to Christ, we need not fear the waters of the flood or the waters of the Red Sea, because we're in Christ. By faith, we will find deliverance, salvation, that what would overwhelm, the waters will not overwhelm and the fires will not consume. Jesus Christ gives us baptism to bind the church to himself. So may we and our children learn the truth Remember and believe. May we all serve the Lord who has given us this sign and seal that just as surely as water washes away dirt from our bodies, so surely will his blood cleanse us from all our sins. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the promises that we have in your word. We thank you for the assurances that we have that Christ's blood and spirit will do what we need to cleanse us, to renew us, to bring us safely through the waters, that the water would not be our death, but it would be the death of the old man and the beginning of new life. We do thank you, O Lord, for reminding us that we are your people, that we and our children belong to you. May we now build upon what we have seen, embracing it. May we trust in Christ. May we believe your promises. And may we receive the very thing that baptism has pointed to and assured. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.